There is that which is able to create a supply for your every need, the Word of God, and the Spirit of Truth, the Holy Spirit, who helps us represent God's fullness on earth. In true intimacy, partnership, and fellowship with Him. Be a part of this and join us as the servant of God, Apostle Joshua Stellman, brings to you the Word of God with simplicity and power.
powerful song, a very deep song. It takes an encounter to understand the depth of this song. Lord, we do not hold back anything. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We're still going to sing this song one more time. And I want everyone to be in a mood of serious worship in this place tonight. Hallelujah. This is not just for fun. Hallelujah. I didn't even rehearse with them to know what it is that I want to share this night. Hallelujah. So inside and outside, I want us to take a moment of deep worship. Can you take it higher? We're going to sing this song, and that song, I Give Myself Away. I want you to flow and worship. I want us to lose ourselves in this place, because there are many things that we need to let go tonight. Many things. Your troubles, your sorrows, thoughts of marriage, increased success. Just let it go tonight as we worship. Forget about every load you brought tonight. Lord, we surrender. Senda baka prasheta baba bala da baka yara bala da ba. Seke la pasha kala baria da bala da da da. Semre basheka baba baka kala da da. Seke la baria da 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 ba. Every worry we lay down in the name of Jesus. Worry about tomorrow. Worry about the future. Worry about marriage. Worry about prosperity. Worry about houses and cars. We lose everything tonight. All our qualifications, all the accolades that are behind our names and our personalities, so that you will use us. Come on, sing it.
We give ourselves,
oh God. Take everything tonight. Come on, pray. Say, Lord, take everything. I didn't realize when I allowed all kinds of worries to come upon me. I didn't realize when I allowed my success to take over my passion for you. I didn't realize when I allowed my problems. I'm not denying the fact that the problems are much. Pray and say, Lord, I release it. Make a prayer, even a letter, a boss. So to pray, then a man, a man, a man. Hallelujah. Go ahead and pray. Say, Lord, I release everything. I release the pain. I release the disappointment. It didn't work out as I planned, but you are still God. It didn't work out the way I expected it. I thought the admission would have come, but you are still God. The marriage didn't come as at when I expected it. The business didn't work out, but you are still God. My ministry did not experience the increase, but you are still God. Come on, break open in His presence. Tell Him, Lord, take this pain. Release your everything in His presence. Inside and outside, make sure you participate. The Bible says, laying aside every weight. There are all kinds of weights in this place tonight. Challenges in our family, your personal progress in life, your academics, your spiritual life. Come on, just pray it away. Pray it away. As you pray in tongues, let it go. There's no money in your pocket, but there is something at work in your spirit. There's no money in your bank account, but you are still more than a conqueror. Something bad happened to you, but His horn is still exalted in your life. Job said, though He slay me, yet will I praise Him. He said, all the days of my appointed time, I will wait till my change comes. Till my change comes. The wife said, do you still hold your integrity? Why don't you curse God and die? And He said, why do you speak like these stupid women? Though He slay me, yet will I praise Him. I choose to praise You. I choose to worship. It's a decision. There's no reason. I may not give any reason for it, but I choose to worship.
We worship You. Let all the earth worship Him. 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 His presence is mighty in this place. Just worship Him. He's your maker. Many of you may not understand what is going on in this place. This is called koinonia. It's an intimacy.
The more I know You, the more I want to know You. The more I see Your face, the more I want to see it again. The more I hear Your voice, the more I want to hear it again. The more I hear Your word, the more I want to hear it again. Jesus, more of You, Jesus, more of You. Come on, sing Jesus, more of You. Jesus, more of You. Jesus, more.
Express your love to your Maker. We're almost losing the art of worship in the body of Christ. We've done well with prayer. This is the secret, the protocol of His presence.
Jesus, born of you. Jesus, born of you.
Hallelujah.
I love you forever. I love you forever. I love you forever, Lord. I love you forever. I love you, Lord. I love you forever. I love you
forever. I love you
forever. Lord. Sing, I'll serve you, Lord.
I'll serve you forever.
About my many struggles, but by your Spirit and your grace, I'm confident you'll solve them. But I'm here to say, I love you. I'm here to say, I adore you.
That's why I'm here tonight.
To say, I love to love you, Lord. Bottom of my heart, I love you, Lord.
Come on, sing it.
From the bottom of my heart, I love you. Sing, I love you. From the bottom of my heart, sing, I praise you, Lord. I praise you, Lord. Sing, I praise you. Sing, I'll praise you. Holy,
A lot happens when we worship Him. It's a sacrifice of praise.
Oh Lord, we feel your presence mighty in this place. We give you all the praise. From everlasting to everlasting, you are God. There is none beside you. Mighty and majestic, the multi-breasted one.
Who is there like you, oh Lord? You who created us.
Come on, worship Koinonia.
In your likeness. Who is there?
I'm telling you, I feel the presence of Jesus in this place.
Oh Lord.
I know when His presence shows up.
It's an honor, Lord, to stand and worship.
Come on, we lift our hands.
We lift our hands to the great I am, who was and who is and is to come. I lift my hands to the great.
Compare with you.
Who can compare?
One more time, I lift my hands.
I lift my hands to the great I am, who was and who is and is to come. I lift my description. You're too marvelous for words. You're too wonderful for comprehension.
I'm worshiping Him
like nothing ever seen or heard.
The presence of Jesus is in this place.
Who can grasp your infinite wisdom? Who can fathom the depths of your love? You are beautiful beyond description. Majesty and throne on high.
Come on, sing. I stand in awe of you.
I stand in awe of you, Lord. I stand in awe of you, only God, to whom all praise is due. I stand
in awe of you.
Hallelujah.
Make my life that it be the temple of your Spirit, and let my spirit fill the warmth of your embrace. Let me be
a holy habitation.
Sing it from your heart.
Where your spirit is pleased to dwell. Oh Lord, I want to know
your love.
I want to offer a sacrifice of praise. This day.
That you are walking in the midst of your people. Jesus is in this place. Not the Holy Spirit, not angels. I know when His presence is in a building. Jesus, we thank you.
We pray, make your presence known. Father, make your presence known. Lord Jesus, make your presence known in our hearts.
This is what I pray tonight.
I pray, make your presence known. Make your presence known. Make your presence known in our hearts.
We thank you for your presence. You have come to reveal yourself to us, and we embrace that presence. Walk among us tonight. Walk among us tonight. Plant a fire in our hearts. We choose to honor you with our lives, with our hearts, and everything that we have. We're not in a hurry. Lord, we bless you for your mighty, mighty presence. I'm telling you, the presence of Jesus is in this place. I know He's in this place. The Spirit and the Bride say, come. The Spirit and the Bride say, come. Let your will be done tonight. Let us see your face.
To see your face once again. To hear your voice once again. To see your face once again.
once again. In the glory I will stand, I will stand and lift my hands. In the glory I will receive every miracle you have. In the glory we will stand, we will stand and lift our hands. In the glory we will receive every miracle. Elohim Adonai, yeah. Elohim Adonai, Elohim Adonai, Elohim Adonai, Elohim Adonai. Elohim Adonai, Elohim Adonai, Elohim Adonai,
yeah. Come on, go ahead and pray in tongues. There is a ladder we are climbing in the spirit tonight. It's a night of encounter. We will sing in the spirit. For who shall ascend unto the hill of the Lord? And who shall stand in his holy place? We ascend the hill of the Lord. Forget about your weakness of your body. Is the protocol for an encounter. Is the protocol for an encounter. What's happening to the laws of the spirit that will open us into the vistas of his presence. Edify yourself in the spirit. Activate your organs of interaction with the realm of the spirit. Is the law of the secret place. Is the law of the secret place. When you seek him, you will find him. Outside, participate.
The Spirit of God is mighty outside. Charge your spirit, man. Activate your capacity to comprehend spiritual things. Let him arise above your need, above your accolades. Of your presence. Expose yourself to that atmosphere, that Shekinah, the glory that changes, the glory that transforms. In the glory where Sitam and Abed coexist together. His name is Jesus Christ. He died and rose and gave me victory. I have been. Come on, sing. We're just going to press a little further. We are serving. We're not serving an idol. His name is Jesus. Miracles are already taking place as we're worshiping. He died and he rose. Desire an encounter. Open us up to portals, realms, vistas in the spirit. In the name of Jesus Christ, open us up to these deep dimensions. Pass me not, O gentle Savior. Hear my humble cry. While on others thou art calling, do not pass me by. Sing it, Savior, Savior, Savior. Rock I stand, all on the ground. I don't care what they are. Sing that song. All on the ground is sound. On Christ, the solid rock. All on the ground. All around me.
tonight, reveal yourself to us. Show us something about you that we have never seen. Put a fire in our spirit. Let there be a displacing of everything that has taken your place in our hearts. In the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Just sit as quiet as you can. No distraction. Let's keep this atmosphere as solemn as it is. Jesus is in this place. I want to share with you a few things tonight that I believe will change our lives remarkably. Tonight is a night of encounter. I'm not here to preach tonight. Tonight is a night of encounter. There must come a point in your life where you will encounter God, not just to be taught about Him. Just sit as quiet as you can and let's let the Holy Spirit pick us in this atmosphere. There is a flight of the Spirit. Psalm 63. I want to share with you a very powerful mystery. Tonight is a night of encounter. The Lord told me this. Tonight is a night of encounter. Many of you tonight will be caught up into heavenly experiences. I told you tonight is an encounter. Many of you will see things you have never seen before. Many of you will hear sounds that you have not heard before. Help us tonight. Psalm 63. Psalm 63. Jebakatos Satavina Shinama. Psalm 63. O God, Thou art my God. Early will I seek Thee. My soul thirsteth for Thee. My flesh longeth for Thee in a dry and thirsty land where there is no water. Verse 2, to see thy power and thy glory, so as I have seen thee in the sanctuary, because thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise you. Hallelujah. I want to talk to you tonight from the depths of my heart. I'm not really preaching tonight. I want everybody to listen. Hallelujah.
Lord God Almighty.
You know that song?
Holy. Holy Lord. Lord God Almighty. There's only one word to me. There's only one word to describe, and only one word comes to me.
When you truly stand before His presence,
only one word to describe. Holy,
that's the word.
Holy Lord, Lord God Almighty. Holy. Holy
Hallelujah. Let me tell you a little story about my life. I have been very, very concerned about the way people are being built in the body of Christ. And every time I say this, people misinterpret it for pride or arrogance. But the way God trained me is not the way many people have been trained in the body of Christ. And I know that something is wrong. Hallelujah. There is a lot of jumping of processes in the progressions of the Spirit. There is a lot of seeming principles of shortcuts to access authentic power and the presence of God. To an extent that there are many people who claim that they are having spiritual encounters, but there's nothing about their life. So many people lie to us that they see angels, and there is nothing, there is no reaction in their lives. Many people tell us they see beings in the spirit. Let me tell you something. If you see anything that is outside this realm, something must happen to you. Hallelujah. I want to share with you something very powerful. I want to share with you how I began my journey in the spirit and how the Holy Ghost led me. And you will see the reason why many people may never find God in terms of encounter. There are many preachers lying to people. Many preachers deceiving people just because of, they are not fake. They are just not telling the truth. Hallelujah. It doesn't take an encounter to speak English. Utterance is not the same as oratory. You can get oratory by good education. You know what utterance is? Utterance is the bridge between your encounter and the people you want to communicate it to. The encounter is so deep, you do not have the framework of the lingua franca to help them see the other side of what you are saying. And so Paul prayed and said, there is something in my spirit, but how to make you see it, pray for me that God will grant me an ability that is not human, an ability to make you enter my experience as I speak to you. This is what is called utterance. There is a lot of powerlessness in the body of Christ. And now I know I'm not old enough and experienced enough to challenge many things yet. Let me tell you something. I do not boast of knowing all the principles of church growth, principles of prosperity, principles of increase, principles of training and mentorship and building people. But there is one thing I know. I know the protocol of an encounter. This one, a man did not teach me. Paul said, I know a man 14 years ago in Arabia. Whether he was in the body or in the spirit, I do not know. But he said that he saw things that were not permitted for men to utter. There were things that John saw, and he said, seal this. Don't bring this. The people do not have the capacity to take this depth of encounter. Seal it. It's for an appointed time. There is a lot of theory, and these theories are not wrong. But let me tell you, when a man meets God, when you hear him, there is an anointing that brings you into his experience. Hallelujah. That's what happened. Prophet Samuel was a man who had encountered God. Saul came into that atmosphere. When he entered, an anointing compelled him into the prophetic. All of a sudden, he began to prophesy. Accurately, the Bible says he prophesied naked from morning till night. And men looked and said, is Saul? Or it wasn't because Saul was anointed. There was an atmosphere that pulled him into that experience. The presence of this man called Samuel. Hallelujah. One time they came to capture the armies. They came to capture the prophet of God, Elijah. And when they came, the Philistines, I believe, they gathered around,
And he prayed. And the servant was perplexed because he was sitting in another realm. His confidence was not of this realm. And the servant was shaky. And he said, "Oh Lord, would you not bring this man into my experience? Let him see what gives me this audacity. Let him see what informs my confidence." All of a sudden, his eyes were open, and he saw that them were greater than what they are. See, you will never understand a man's passion until you know what drives him, until you see what he has seen, until you hear what he has heard. And the Bible says Moses was at the backside tending his father-in-law's sheep, and he saw a bush. The Bible didn't say many people saw, only one man, Moses. And when he went there, he had an encounter. Hallelujah. There are so many people looking for power, and that's not wrong. There are so many people looking for power. They want the power to heal the sick. They want the power to do this and that and that, because according to their church growth seminar, they were told that if you have power and you have results, men will come to your church or to your assembly, whatever it is. Let me tell you the truth. I'm about to correct some things and set aright. Very, very wrong. When I began my pursuit for God, listen to me, I had no ambition to be a preacher whatsoever. Hallelujah. If anybody would have told me that today I'll be standing taking the message of the kingdom, I would never believe it. Hallelujah. There are people already who sit down, it's part of their ambition. They think it's a profession. They are so desperate to start ministry. They are so desperate to gather members. They've not done anything. They have the name of the ministry already. They have the name of where the church will be. I'm not saying what God gave them. They sat down and pushed. They have the name of everything. Their cathedral, the kind of bosses that will come. Nonsense. And they do not know the person that they are going to represent. Can I tell you something? Almost everybody God called was on his way running away from God's presence. If you really know what ministry. Hallelujah. This is the reason why many people do not experience the presence of God. And every time they find a man who has followed the protocol of an encounter, they begin to bring all sorts of criticisms because certain possibilities do not exist in their life. And they do not know that there is a price. It's more than Bible college. It's more than theological seminary. It's more than longevity around a church building. Hallelujah. Are you hearing what I'm saying? I began to seek God with so much passion. Listen, I remember, I will never forget, 2nd of December 2002. I was sleeping in the night. And a man walked into my room, sleeping. And all of a sudden, I felt it, not in a vision. I was not in any vision. I was conscious of myself. And he tapped me. I felt the tap of a man, and I was alone. I was shocked. I was afraid. All of a sudden, I turned. I didn't see any man, but it left an experience. It was as if it was like a force. At once, I knew things I did not learn. I started crying until morning. I felt filthy. I felt unclean, practically unclean. It wasn't because I was fornicating or doing any bad thing. A presence, a realm was introduced to my life that rattled my theology, rattled everything that I had known. For days, I was crying. I could not even eat. Let me tell you the truth. I was sobbing and crying. I was not in control of the tears. I didn't understand the presence of God. Do you know? Because of that, the passion that was in my spirit, I got a notebook. I still have the notebook. I wrote a letter to all my friends, my extended family in the village. That was all I knew. It was a letter on rapture that Jesus was coming and everyone needed to pay attention. That was all that I knew. There was such a passion for souls, not ministry, not power, not healing, not deliverance, not prosperity, not money, not influence. Souls, the heartbeat of the Father. God hides himself in light. He will give you a glimpse and hide himself so that you will look for him. Hallelujah. I always waited for the night time where everybody would go and sleep. And then I would wake up. And these encounters, I kept writing letters. I carried a bulk of my clothes. I told my mother to give me a bulk of her clothes and a number of people. I called my brother who was then studying in Shika, came home, and we prayed on the clothes. I drove down to an orphanage home. I went to visit those orphans and do a lot of things. I wasn't in ministry. The Bible says the Spirit moved Jesus, drove him. I didn't even know what the name of that experience was. All I knew was that it was an encounter no one could deny. Hallelujah. People would come around me and just sit quietly, and within minutes they are sober and they are telling me the problems of their lives. I wasn't a preacher. I would study the word chapter after chapter. I couldn't understand anything. At that time I was having very serious eye problem. I couldn't even look at light for a long time. And I said, if my eyes will come out, let it come out. Passion. I would cry and tell the Lord, reveal yourself to me. Who is this stranger that walked into my room? Didn't show me his face. Didn't know anything about the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Years before that time, we had had encounter, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And as very, very small boys, we did wonderful things. We were not even conscious that the things that were happening were miracles. It was dramatic. JS2, I was made the timekeeper of the whole school because there was something exceptional about my life. JS2, every day, pastor, 4:45, somebody wakes me. 4:45, without failing, somebody will wake me. I rang the bell 5:00 on the dot. I want you to know that this, the quality of Christians that men of God are marketing and advertising, will not stand the test of time. They lack the impetus to endure. Hallelujah. And after that encounter, I began to pursue God. I had no business with ministry. In fact, let me tell you something, pastor. The first crusade that we had, there was no name of ministry. We had to come together. And Jimmy told me, what will be the name of this ministry now? I said, I don't know. God didn't give me any name. Let's find something. I can't even remember the name we used. Trinity something. One kind of name like that. Just to be able to explain to PFN we are coming for a crusade. And now I see a lot of people all around, moving with bodyguards and moving with people, claiming that they are doing ministry. And they mentored the life of very wrong men of God who are out of the program of God. Don't use cars and suits and English and crowd to gauge that a man is close to the presence of God. You will be greatly deceived. Motivational speakers pack stadiums. Are they anointed? But they pack stadiums with people paying thousands of dollars to hear them speak. It doesn't take too much to gather people. Hallelujah. Is someone hearing me tonight? And I began this encounter. Let me tell you something. I would pray for days. I wasn't looking for ministry. Show me your face. Show me your glory, oh God. That's all I want. a time came, it was a matter of life and death. I remember I would go to Lifeway, and then I had. Do you know? I would be in the restaurant in Community Market. Immediately I finish eating, there's one anywhere I hear them playing a tape. There were Christian bookstores around. I would just go and sit down there. I knew almost all of them. I was hungry. I spent my money on books on purpose. I will never forget writing an article about myself. If I were dead, that's what I wrote. That was the article. I wrote how people may come for my funeral, come for this and that and that. I did crazy things. Hallelujah. At the back of Iksa Ramat, you know that bush there? They started developing it now. It was at the back of Iksa Ramat. That's where I would go and shout like a madman in the night, saying, Lord, will you reveal yourself or kill me? Don't criticize a man till you know the passion and the story behind the glory. God never gave me any assurance that I'll be standing and listening to people, but he gave me one assurance. He said, early will I seek you. I will show you some scriptures tonight. Hallelujah. I'll never forget dramatic encounters. I was staying in Danfodio, and I remember what used to happen. People will come to my room. When they come to, it was myself, Steve Strings, and Andy Ambassador. We were roommates, room 155, old block. People used to come in the morning. In the morning, I was a strange person. I could be lying down, and the next thing, the moment I see an angel, Steve Strings or somebody, the moment, he may just be playing the guitar and something happens. The power of God is breaking out. People outside the room are falling under the anointing. It was a strange life. I would climb on top of vet medicine. There was one empty place at the very top in the night when people are sleeping. I would sit there. I had a chair. And I would sit there and cry in the night and say, will you not reveal yourself to me, O God? Holy Spirit, I wait on you. Holy Spirit, I wait on you. Hallelujah. When I was staying in area BZ, I used to seek the Lord. I was staying alone. Well, with a roommate, but mostly alone. And this is where the encounters of my life took another dimension. I was broke. Sometimes I would not have money, but there was a guava tree in front of the house. I would go and plug the guava there and eat it and take water and say, Lord, I give you praise. And I would lock up myself praying. And then at a point, listen to me, certain things started happening in my life. I would be praying. I didn't even know it was called the cloud of his presence. I stand before God and I tell you the truth, I lie not. A literal mist. You know how vapor is? That's how it will enter the room. And I was being careful so that I wouldn't dabble into any demonic thing. I had to search the scripture. And I saw when the cloud of God's glory entered the temple and the priest could not even minister again. It's in your Bible. Hallelujah. I'll never forget praying for somebody who had chicken pox. God is my witness. It was in less than 3 hours or so, the person came back and almost 90% of what he had had disappeared. And there was nobody to clap for me. I didn't even know it was a spectacular miracle. You know the problem with a lot of people? There are too many people to clap for you when you have not done anything. So it makes us believe. We gather around a lot of people who are not passionate about God. I was seeking the face of God with all my heart. Then there used to be lots of fellowships on campus to do a lot of things. I would just go behind Sunday school building and sit down there. and I used the worship that was being played by several campus fellowships for my spiritual. Look, let me tell you something. This is the reason why you may talk about somebody and God will judge you at once, because he has a track record of sacrifice. It's like blood on the altar that speaks. Hallelujah. When Reinhard Bonnke was coming for crusade, I remember that time I went, I've shared with you the story. 6 hours I was standing, no seat. A pregnant woman was standing close to me. Small time the woman would lean on me. I said, madam, I understand you are pregnant, but this whole thing, we're all tired here. But I was determined. My life is a testimony of dramatic encounters. I started having all of these encounters. And I'll never forget, listen, one night, the longing of my soul was satisfied when Jesus Christ appeared to me. I have seen him. It's not because I read it in scripture. This is why I can tell you with authority that many people who claim they have seen Jesus did not see Jesus. There is nothing that left. There was no deposit in their life. If you see Jesus, even if it's for 1 minute, something will enter your life that you will run with for a lifetime. This is the Jesus I saw. When Saul, on his way to Damascus, met this Jesus, what happened to him? A hardened criminal. At once, he broke down. He called him Lord. Saul was fasting for 3 days and 3 nights. He was blind. The presence of God made a man blind physically. And there are people who claim they see Jesus every day, fornicating around seeing Jesus, stealing around seeing Jesus, doing all kinds of things. They say they are seeing Jesus. That's not the Jesus I saw. That's not the Jesus I saw. When you see him, when Zechariah saw just an angel, he made Zechariah dumb. An angel. Hallelujah. When I saw Jesus, I was flat on the ground. Goodness, I'm telling you, I looked like a speck of dust in this majestic. I could not believe that this was the man preachers were trying to represent. When you meet Jesus, it will change your life. It will overhaul your priority about ministry. It will no longer be an issue of denomination or an issue of sect, an issue of I was this, I was that. When you meet Jesus, it will rattle your whole theology to its foundation. I felt as if I was a dead man. I could not even see his face. Let me tell you the truth. It was the brightness. I don't know how to begin to explain it to you. And he stood there. His robe was white. It was not like physical clothes that you can see like this. It was like clothes, but it was like the clothes was attached to the person's body. So it's not like something you remove and put back. It's not our concept of clothes. No. Hallelujah. And light, brothers and sisters, light was emanating from him, the Christ. And all he did to me was to stretch his hands towards me. And he stretched that giant hand. Imagine, like stretching an aircraft over a fly. That was how it was. And light that I cannot explain. That light came upon me. I don't know how God did it that he did not kill me. When I got up from that vision, there was a fire in my bones that I would live and die for. I've been captured by a love I can't explain. Now you have me, and I'm forever changed. I've abandoned everything I've ever known, and I surrender
This life is not my own. I belong to you. I belong to you. I belong to you. I belong to you.
Nobody coerced me. I surrendered my heart. This one is different from coming to do this funny born again thing that people do in church. People just march and come out, Lord Jesus, Lord Jesus, and he's pinching his neighbor. I surrender all, I surrender all. Immediately he finishes, the boyfriend or whoever is waiting for the person, and then they ask him, are you born again? And the brother or the sister, they mean to say, have you ever come out? They say, yes, now I've even been baptized. Come on now, let me tell you, there are many people who think they are saved and God does not know them. I know some of you will be angry for this statement I'm making. Christianity with no transformation, impossible. Except it's not the Christ that died for our sins. Hallelujah. This was the vision that opened me up into ministry. I had been seeing a lot of encounters. Listen, somebody was pursuing me, and I went and I stood somewhere in a room. All of a sudden, I was moved to look through the window. When I looked through that window, I saw an endless sea of people. It was as far as my eyes could see. And they were talking, they were lamenting. It was a crowd of people. Hallelujah. After seasons of trainings and building, and their sound started zooming to my ears. And then eventually, it looked like they zoomed those who were in front. And I heard them. It was a sound of languishing and pain. It was not a sound of celebration. The people were crying and languishing in pain. And this was what they said. They looked at me and they said, there's no food and no water. All of a sudden, in the vision, it became like I had the keys to the storehouse of that entire crowd of people. I was holding the keys. And I told them, I asked them, I said, who is the cause? Why you do not have food and water? And they said, you are the one. And I said, oh my God. I was moved with compassion. I started crying. And I told them, I'm coming right away to help you. But there were people who had chased me, and I was afraid of them. But I took the step to open the door. When I opened the door, there was a gigantic man waiting for me, and he was in the similitude of the Holy Spirit. He now held my hands and he said, let's walk together. I will walk with you in this journey. Are you getting the point? Then he began to walk with me. We were to jump from building to building, just like structures like you have the students' hostel at the top, from one end to the other. And he jumped to the other side and he sat down. There was a small ladder that connected the buildings, and I was trying to walk slowly, and he was looking at me and laughing. And that was how I woke up. All of a sudden, my life changed. I would be in a meeting and would hold hands together just to share the grace, quietly seated here, and people in rows would fall under the anointing, and I could not understand. I would stay in the secret place praying and building. People would come to look for me. The way they would know I'm around is that a great distance before they arrive, people would not be able to cross that circumference. What is your experience like? You who has already called yourself pastor, what is your experience? What message do you have to give your generation? That's why we do a lot of copying and pasting, a lot of copy and all kinds of things. We preach messages without power, without transformation, because they do not come from a depth of truth. You're beautiful. You're beautiful. Every time you see me worship him, every time you see me do the things that I do, let me tell you something. Whenever there is any seed of pride in me, it doesn't take a long time for God to copy. There are too many encounters in my life. All it takes is for God to refresh any of them. any of them breaks me down. Many of you do not have encounters. That's why a man of God will keep moving. He's falling, but he cannot see. There's no encounter to remind him of where he was coming from. And you can begin to sleep around with members of the church, enjoy prosperity. When jeeps start coming and cars start coming, whether you pray or not, you preach well. Let me tell you the truth. The army that God is raising is an army that understand the one they are representing. They know him. They've had an encounter with him. That's the only condition to be able to die for him. It's impossible to die for a man you do not know. It's impossible to die for a man you cannot relate with.
Angels bow before him. He's beautiful.
There have been so many encounters in my life. One time, I was in a vision and it was outside. All the doors were closed. All the shops were closed. It was like a community. And I saw people sitting down, sick people all around. And I was looking at them. And I said, where are the doctors? Where is the hospital? These people are dying. What is all this? I was shouting, speaking to the air. The people were so weak and helpless, they could not even talk to me. And then I heard a voice that spoke to me from heaven. It said, go and heal them. Go and deliver them. Hallelujah. One time when I was praying, I was worshiping for a season, I began to sense an unusual activity of the presence of God in my life. I would worship and pray and build myself. Listen, I want to give you a very big key to my life. And that night, it was a very deep encounter with God. Hallelujah. And while I was in that place of encounter, listen, the Lord spoke to me and he said, from today, I give you my presence as a gift. This is what God told me. Hallelujah. From that day, God opened my eyes and I saw a huge angel. I had never seen him. And I said, Lord, what is the name of this angel? And the Lord told me his name is called the angel of the Lord's presence. He said, this is the angel that will walk with you. The angel of the Lord's presence. Hallelujah. This is the reason behind some of these mighty manifestations that you see, that a lot of people do not understand. I have suffered for this anointing. I've been criticized for this anointing. People have called me all kinds of names. My mother is alive. She came here. You have seen her. My father is alive. I grew up in the midst of people. I didn't come out from a wilderness. My life has been an open book from birth to day. The Bible says, O Lord my God, early will I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. He says, to see your power and your glory. This is the passion that is the missing ingredient. Every time I go for meetings, after the meetings, you see lots of people coming to kneel down. Oh man of God, lay hands. Because we have emphasized impartations above encounters. So people believe you can take a man's spiritual journey with one laying on of hands. Do you know that all the people that the apostles laid hands on and the patriarchs of old, they went through the wilderness together. They saw certain things together. The laying on of hands did not rob them of true spiritual experience. Hallelujah. I remember my first encounter with a demon, real physical demon. Listen, let me share with you. I'm sharing with you. I'll put a few scriptures and we'll pray. Because tonight, God is going to give some people real encounters. Hallelujah. It was in chapel one night. I finished praying. Listen, true story. God is my witness. None of these things I'm telling you are stage managed. And the generator, then they just made that generator there. And I was just going to turn to the edge of it. Listen, I saw a real physical demon. I saw it with my eyes. And he just shouted and told me, get back. That's what he told me. Before he finished saying get back, I was already praying in tongues. It was not premeditated. And it just went, vanished like that. From that time, authority came upon my life to cast out every kind of demon and devil anywhere. Brothers and sisters, the ancient knew the value of encounters. This is what we do not know, especially preachers in our generation. Everybody just believes, I have an occupation. Okay, you studied mass communication or French, and you don't know what else to do with your life. You just say, I sense the call of God upon my life. Now, after NYSC, what will I do? Try ministry now. I said, Tom, you were a very good Bible study teacher. You say, truly I was. They even gave me prize. You just go and dabble into the vineyard, believing that you are going to be effective. You think so? Go and ask the devil how herbalists are trained. Go and ask the devil how false prophets are trained. Go and ask the devil how witches and wizards are trained. You think it's an ambition? It's a fraternity. It's a sacrifice with their life. They sell their soul to Satan. Those ones have collected the mark of the beast already. Hallelujah. That's why you can stand and tell the sick, be healed, and nothing happens. There is no experience. Demons are not idiots. They have followed the track record. Listen, something happened. There was somebody, when we started Koinonia, he was coming. He was in the occult. I'm sure one, I can't remember his name now. One young guy, he was in the occult. They used to come and sit when people started sitting outside. Quietly, they had seen me. This gentleman was sent. It's just that we don't share one tenth of the testimonies that happened. It will amaze you. Do you know what this guy told me? I went on a retreat. I remember one time I went on a retreat. The Lord asked me to go on a retreat. 72 hours, my eyes did not see light. Whether it was day or night, I didn't even know what time it was at all. Whether it was 3 o'clock, I kept everything 72 hours. Dry, I'm not talking about this kind of fast that you take granite in the afternoon, later in the evening, you can't even wait. 5:45, you're already peeling the orange. The type, your heart panting after God, not looking for power. Hallelujah. Do you know, after I prayed and I finished that experience, the day they brought the gentleman to me and I was about to pray, this is not an issue of being oppressed that you are casting out the devil. This is somebody that is in occult, aware, he knows. You know what he told me? He said, sir, we have been watching you. And he said, while you were praying, he mentioned the place. He said, for 72 hours in the realm of the spirit, their eyes were open and they were watching. Hallelujah. And he was telling me how that they strike a lot of men of God. It's like a spiritual meter. That's why a man can be backsliding and nothing is happening. It's the deceit of the devil to make you feel things are moving all right. Your prayer life has died. Nothing wrong is happening. You are not even studying. Nothing else is. It's like a meter. It will keep going down, down, down. You will not observe it. It will just keep going down. One day, the devil will hit you once. This is the reason why you will see a great man. People don't just fall like that, brothers and sisters. Are you getting what I'm saying? Samson slept with a harlot, true or false? Without prayer, he went and removed the gate of the city. That God is showing you mercy over your life does not mean he's endorsing your state. He's challenging you to rise higher. This is the message you will not find in church. Everybody tells people things are all right. Jesus has died. Wonderful. You are now born again. Do everything. Just book in the name of Jesus. Give him all the praise. Shout. Do everything you want to do. And there's all kinds of madness. And hell is raging war. Believers are not sensitive. Hallelujah. One of the greatest assets I have in my life is not revelation, it's not understanding, it's my love for God. And it's like a cancer, and I trust God to infect you with it tonight. A love for God that nothing can take, not power, not anointing, not influence. People call me all kinds of names. I don't care what you call me. Apostle, daddy, mommy, uncle, call whatever you want to call me. That's your, I thank God for the honor, but there is something that I've seen that nothing in time can take it away. Hallelujah. Let me show you two scriptures. I saw this scripture in 2005 and it changed my life forever. John 14:21. Mighty God. John 14:21. Let's read. One to read. Please, can we have it from Amplified? Do you have Amplified? Let's have it from Amplified. The person who has my commands and keeps them is the one who really loves me. And what's his reward for loving me? It says, and whoever really loves me will be loved by my Father. Are you seeing it now? I want to show you the protocol of our encounter. And I too will love him and will show, reveal, manifest myself to him. I will let myself be clearly seen by him and make myself real to him. Is that in your Bible? There is a protocol. God does not just reveal himself to people because they are crying or because they are praying. Many people want to encounter God. Everybody cry. Even in churches, we hold all kinds of 3 days, 1 week revival. You see the poster, revival exclamation mark, revival 2! And then another revival 3! Revival, revival, revival. And you see the people who are coming for the revival, strolling around and coming to sit. And the man of God, who is now supposed to bring the revival, who needs revival himself, will now come with his prepared manual and talk all kinds of stories, and people just nod. They say, if my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves, and they now say it's time to pray, and everybody just finds a little corner and is just sleeping and snoring. At the end of the program, they say they've held this year's revival. You know what a revival is? A revival is an awakening that keeps a city and the community stand still. We don't read a lot of history. We don't read a lot of where we are coming from. The Welsh revival was so powerful that men will carry the newspaper. As soon as they start reading the newspaper, revival will start in their house. What is our concept of revival? The average young person in this generation cannot define what a revival is. We have not seen it. What is our concept of Christianity? What do we really want to achieve? Ask the average believer, why do you go to church? It tells you to go and worship. What is that? It's just because we grew up knowing that you are a Christian and it's good for you to go to church. Second Corinthians. Or 1 Corinthians. Sitaka prastim bradijela krosiba haryada baladaba. Lord, we bless you. The Lord is redefining someone's Christianity tonight, removing the things that are unnecessary. Verse 9, 1 Corinthians 2:9. But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man, the things which God has prepared for who? them that love him, not them that pray to him, not them that want to serve him, them that love God. Let me tell you, this is the missing ingredient in the body of Christ. It's not rhema. We have enough revelation. There are powerful men and women of God. I attest to it. In Nigeria, in Africa, in the world, there are people who have explored the portals of revelation back to back. What we lack is love. And when I say love, I don't just mean love by giving. I mean passion and priority. God has very little priority in our generation. Let me tell you the truth. Very little priority. Very little. There are few parents. The average parent in Nigeria, they believe in God, but God is not a priority. Hallelujah. Ask the average young man what his pursuit is. Either to go to school, or to go and serve, or to get a wife, or to get some kinds of things. Imagine, this is the whole circumference of our Christian pursuit. Ask a man of God, what are you seeking? He tells you, by the grace of God, we should grow to 10,000 and 15,000, and then have our own auditorium, have our own buses, start making our own calendar, then go on air. Is this our circumference of the pursuit of God? I love him with my life. He's my priority. I'm obsessed about him. And that has nothing to do with ministry. It's my default state. When I sing, he knows I'm not pretending it. I love him more than miracles. Let him take all the anointing from my life. Let him take the ministry. If God asks me, pastor, and tells me, close Koinonia, close up ENI, pack up everything, I promise you, to God who has created me, this would be the last service. That's the end of it. Everybody will feel bad. Everybody will complain and say, why? Some zealous people even say, let's resurrect it. You can go ahead and face God alone. But I'll be so happy. And I'll tell him, Lord, what next? If God tells me, go and join a church or a ministry and be an usher, I will do that gladly from the depths of my heart. Not minding anybody's recognition. I don't want no recognition from anybody. When you see God commit spiritual power to a man, ask questions. Ask questions. God is not stupid. That's why a lot of people come, oh God, give me power. I want to speak. Somebody sent me a text. He said, I cannot imagine how you speak and people fall. I want it too. I said, go and ask God. The guy felt disappointed. Go and ask God. I'm not a herbalist. I don't manufacture miracles in little dots of oil and communion and all of that. No. We want to jump the process of genuine encounter and intimacy. Yet we want power. That's why I question a lot of what we call power in the body of Christ. A man who has so much power without encounter is questionable. But right now, everybody is chasing power, power. Prophetic power, apostolic power, miraculous power. People keep hopping around. I've given warning. Nobody should come and stand in front of my house waiting for any impartation. I'm not a herbalist. You can come for counseling. You can come for koinonia. God will bless you. Listen, I believe in the laying on of hands. We lay hands and we do impartation for all the people. But we must lead you into a of desperation and encounter with the Spirit. Say amen. Two more scriptures. Let me tell you how you know that God is not a priority. If you attempt to live without him, it's a sign that you do not need him in your life. Whatever you can live without is not a priority to you. Are you getting my point? Whatever you can live without is not a priority. Air is a priority, you cannot live without it. Food is a priority, you cannot live without it. If you can live without God, Don't tell me he's a priority to you. There are many of us outside, inside. You are looking at me right now. You know between you and God that God is not a priority in your life. You may even be in ministry. You may be doing very well. But is God a priority? I'm not asking you whether you are born again or not. I know you are born again. I'm talking of a priority. That if you are to delete many things in your life, God will still remain. Hallelujah. There is a law in the spirit. Jeremiah 29. Thank you, Holy Spirit. 11 to 13, we'll read it quickly. Because I want us to pray. The Lord wants to plant a fire in our hearts tonight. And reorder our spiritual pursuit aright. That beyond revelation, we will love Him. For I know the thoughts that I think towards you. We know this scripture so well. Thoughts of peace and not of evil to give you an expected end. Next verse. Then shall ye call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. Here's the condition, verse 13. This is a law in the spirit. Never forget it for as long as you live. Read it, everybody. Want to read? And find me when ye search for me with all your heart. This is the law for finding God in the spirit. You will never, never have an encounter with God until your all seeks Him. If you just seek Him with part of you, if you seek Him with an ulterior motive, if you seek Him because of business or marriage or money, like many of us are seeking God. God will give you the car. God will give you the marriage. God will give you all of these things. We seek different things that God has. We seek His hands. We seek all kinds of things. Here is the law. Write it. If anybody ever asks you, what is the protocol for an encounter? This is it. You will seek me. Look at me. Let me tell you what it means to seek God. To seek God is not to pray. This is what a lot of people have been taught as seeking God. Prayer is not necessarily seeking God. To seek God is not even worship. Because that's what many of us still believe. To seek God is not to fast. To seek God is to cultivate a desire that seeks to make Him the priority of your life at any cost. That has nothing to do with prayer. It is when that happens, prayer can be a machinery to help you get there. Fasting can be a machinery to help you get there. Worship can be a machinery to help you get there. But in themselves, they cannot give you. I know someone, and he's one of the greatest person I've met in my life. People talk about kings of fasting and people who fast. I know somebody who fasted. He rounded up last year 400 days. 400 days. Very quiet brother. Nobody even knows him around. 400 days. I had the privilege of rounding up his fast with him, and I prayed for him and laid my hands. When he finished the 400 days, 6 to 6 for 400 days. In my life, even in history, I'm not saying you should do it. I'm just telling you that there are people like that. Yet you will still see that there are certain dimensions that he has not entered. So it's not just about fasting. People brag with fasting. They intimidate others with fasting. They make it look, how many days have you fasted? One will say 3. Try your words. Say try. Another person said all kinds of things. If fasting alone brought people into the place of power, some people would have brought the throne of God to the earth and be sitting on it by now. Let me tell you, fasting will not in its own just make God reveal Himself to you. The psalmist said, as the deer pants after the water pool. Bishop Oyedepo said something. He said, if you want to know the secret of the hand of God in my life, you must know my heartbeat for God. I know a lot of preachers who do not have the heartbeat for God. I go for meetings and I talk with preachers. After a powerful service, they look at me and they admire deeply the things that God has done in my life. And when they come and sit down, 90% of them don't ask questions. They are just looking for an envelope. And they put offering and sign checks. Where is my PA? Bring check. And you sign it. You really think it will give you an encounter? I believe in giving and all of that. We've taught this there. And they just drop it. And they say, pray for me. When you meet a man of the spirit, ask questions. Don't just kneel down and say, lay hands on me. What was the secret of this glory? I know lots of preachers that teach well. But 3 days after their teaching, people have forgotten everything they have said. But I know certain people. Reinhard Bonnke is one of them. You meet him once, your life will never be the same. I remember when he came for a crusade, I think in Makurdi. Dr. Paul Enenche said something. He said after the crusade, they should book the room and leave it 24 hours. The room that Paul Enenche slept in. Hallelujah. And when Paul, what's his name now? The evangelist. Reinhard Bonnke. When he left, Enenche said they shouldn't repair it. He said all the people, they should not come and make it. They should leave it as dirty as it is. And he came there and laid down on that exact spot and said, Lord, just give me the hunger that you gave this man. I'm not asking for power. Just give me his hunger. That's how to pray. That's how to receive. That's how to encounter power. You are looking for the wrong things. The hand of a man. The wallet of a man. All kinds of things. Look for the heart for God that man has. And you've gotten the secret of his anointing. This one, you cannot receive it as an impartation. You must desire and covet and pursue. The Bible says there are many things that God has in store. Hallelujah. Something happened, I think a week or two, I think a week ago, I was sharing with the students, School of Ministry. Hallelujah. I wanted to listen to a message and I searched for it on YouTube. I couldn't find it. And I said, Lord, would you help me? And I slept. It didn't take long. When I slept, I was in a dream. And I went back to my laptop. Listen to me. True story. And someone came and found the message for me. And they played the message for me in the dream, beginning to end. So I woke up, I listened to the message. And I remembered everything. There are some things you see God do for a man. And you'll be like, God, you are not fair. God says, it's not that I'm not fair. This guy has attracted me with so much passion. It's a love affair. That's why many people stop at the outer court. They cannot eat the hallowed bread. But there are some people, what somebody is fasting for 10 days, God will carry it as a gift and give a man who truly loves him. There are sisters catwalking all around hoping that one brother will get to see them, whereas another gentle sister is just saying, Lord, come, let me use you. Lord, I love you and I seek you with all my heart. And in that seeking, God will just wake a brother who is sleeping in the night, and he will just wake up. Shatata, God will say, keep quiet, this is not what we are talking about. You see that lady, she's your wife. Say, Lord, please, this is not the time. God will say, have you submitted to me or not? It's a fire. Let me tell you, the cheapest route to the hand of God is force his heart to come to your direction. Hallelujah. That's the greatest church growth principle I know. You can give people balloon and exercise book after service. You can give them eclairs. You can put all kinds of things. Put screens all around. Transport them to their houses. If your heart does not pant after God, let me tell you, there are certain dimensions. It's not demons. God himself will stop you from entering. Hallelujah. you will seek me and you will find me. I listened to a very powerful 26 minute video about passion and hunger for God. And one Asian was talking to the people. It inspired me and blessed me so much. And he gave an analogy. He said, if you lose a 10 or 50 cents, if it falls in the night, a coin, maybe 10 or 50 cents, and it falls in the night, will you look for it? If you check it around and you don't find it, a coin that is so cheap, Pastor, will you spend all the night looking for it? But if you have a check of $100,000 that they gave you, not you and your friend, and it disappears, even if it's the realm of the spirit, you will use light and bring it back into this realm. So tell me, is God a cheap coin for you that you search? If you don't find him, no problem. Any other thing, man. Some of us can begin to seek God until a man comes into your life, or until a woman comes, or until you make 5 points, or until you get that job. You hear people say, I'm busy, I'm busy. You are not busy when your leg breaks and they hang it for 3 months in Shika. No going anywhere. You sit down there, you are not too busy. But the one who can protect and preserve you. It's amazing how people claim they are too busy for God. Say, I'm too busy, I have an appointment. Go! Is it not when God takes you there safely?
I don't mind waiting. I don't mind waiting. I don't mind waiting on you, Lord. I don't mind waiting. I don't mind waiting. I don't mind waiting.
This was the secret of David. Look at a man called David. See all the bad things that David did. And it was as if God didn't see it. Go and study the life of David and see how many criminal offenses David committed in his lifetime. Every bad thing you can imagine. Stealing somebody's wife. Kill the husband. Slept with Bathsheba, and when the first child died, he didn't repent. He still had Solomon with her again. Ate the temple shewbread, did all kinds of things. Yet hear the testimony. God said he is a man after my heart. That's why the guy accessed some realms. He saw things that were not given for his dispensation to see. It was David who sat down and his love for God. He said, how can I be in a palace like this and there is no house for my God? Although you do not need tents to dwell in, but I will build you a house. God said, no, you're already a criminal. You won't build me a house. He said, no problem. God, I love you. I'm not offended. I will put the money for my son. And God said, what kind of man is this? There is a way you love God that God, you try to force God to be guilty if he does not bless you. Just love him. Don't ask him anything. It's in his word. He says, any man that cannot cater for his family, you make yourself the child, then you come and make yourself like the wife of this one. Come on now. You have placed God in a tight position that he must respond. He called the nation of Israel the apple of his eyes. Try to touch the apple of a man's eyes and you will see how his hand will reach to you and slap you. And the Bible says the right hand of God is power. That's where Abel is got it, that you can go to a burial ground. Have you heard those kind of stories? A hand will appear from nowhere and slap you and the guy will become deaf. So what about the right hand of God that is power? When God stretches that hand, Acts chapter 4, they said that you will stretch forth your hands. When God stretches his hands, he will clear the way. The breath of his nostrils parted the Red Sea. Is it that God cannot save us? Listen, I want to give us a food for thought and we will pray. The way many of us treat God, we are not sure whether God can come to our rescue or not. What is a husband? What is money? What is a car? brothers and sisters, what is a house? What is HIV that God cannot take it away? What is ministry? What is ministry that God cannot give you increase? Jesus entered a city and it was noised abroad. What is a child that God cannot give you? What are demons that God cannot keep them far from your life? Is the curse on your life so great that God cannot help? You are not the first to go through affliction. I'm looking for money to marry. It's just 2 months for my marriage. Keep quiet. 7 days God created the heavens and the earth. How long does it take to give you money? Are you the first to get married? Or is your wife, did she descend from heaven? What is the special arrangement? My child's school fees, really? You've not heard of people that God will stop from sleeping in the night to respond to those who truly love him. I cannot tell you how many times people will send me texts in the middle of the night and say, the Lord woke me and said, I must send you a seed. I must send you a recharge card. And I said, Lord, what are you doing to me? I found a secret. When you love him, don't just seek to serve him yet. MOG, don't just seek to serve him yet. Seek to love him. Back up the name of your ministry, whether it's Revival Tower Incorporated. I'm not saying God didn't call you. Just keep it aside. Win the heart of God and you will ride on the wings of a dimension of his grace that you cannot experience. Or that you have never experienced before. Is someone getting blessed tonight? This is a missing ingredient. And so the apostle says it this way. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, we recite it after every meeting, the love of God, the koinonia, the participation of the Spirit, let it remain with you. I love God with my life. This is the biggest secret. I'm not the most gifted minister. I'm not the most anointed minister. I'm not the most eloquent minister. I'm not the most intelligent minister. I'm not the most experienced minister. But one thing I can tell you, ask God, I love him. Oh, I love him with my life and I love him with my heart. I love him more than power. I love him more than everything. I love him more than all of this swan water and this bottle together with this serviette inside. I love him more than this chair. I love him more than anything. Marriage, children, wife, husband, mother, father. If you stand my way with God, you already know you have lost. That's the end of it. Do you love God that much? God is asking you this question. For when you do, you will see power in your life. You don't need to talk too much. We just returned from University of Ibadan. And goodness, what the Lord did in that campus humbled me. I've seen the hand of God and I see the hand of God week in, week out. But to see the humbling thing that it was so humbling. The wife of the commissioner of police of the state had to follow us to our hotel and stay there. And we were talking with this woman till about 12 in the night. She wouldn't go. I had to be prophesying and praying for her. And she gave her iPad for someone to record it. She said, my husband needs to see this. This is the favor somebody has been sweating about. Sitting from morning till night in an office. I want to see the commissioner of police. They say, seek God. He said, no. I know how we will do this thing. Because you think God wants your money.
I surrender all to you. Everything I give to you, withholding nothing.
This will be our song this night.
Withholding nothing.
Tonight you will release that Isaac.
Withholding nothing. Withholding nothing.
Sing, I surrender all.
I surrender all.
everything I give to you. Holding nothing.
We're holding nothing.
I was talking with one of my friends one time, and he said, he calls me Emoji. He said, Emoji, you are enjoying, no? I'm seeing your picture on Facebook all the time. Ministry is sweet, oh, you are just changing clothes. And I was looking at the person. I said, look at somebody I've not seen after 1 year. Look at what is in his mind. You see that? That's what is in his mind. To him, he's enjoying crowds, money. He said, you are rich, oh. You hear that boss is carrying people. And I'm in my mind, I'm thinking, what is wrong with this brother? Because to him, he now thinks one kind of magic happened. Do you know that you came into this ministry because God brought you? It was a law that compelled you to come. There was no guarantee that you would come, but there was a guarantee that if I seek him, I will find him. And when you find him, you will find everything he has. His power, his wisdom, his grace. This is the secret. Rise up on your feet. We are going to pray. Hallelujah. David, I'm come. You are going to sing that song again. We are going to sing and we are going to pray. Listen. For many of you, two prayer points. Just two prayer points tonight. The first is the prayer of release. You are going to be crying and say, Lord, I love you, but truly you are not yet a priority. I don't know if I have that passion. Tonight, forget about titles. I don't want to know who you are in this place. Just cry to God. And the second prayer is going to be a prayer for an encounter. An encounter. An encounter. Go ahead.
Holding
nothing. Sing from your heart. Lord, I'm withholding nothing. If you want the marriage, take it. If you want the relationship, take it. If you want my degree, take it. If you want my life, take it. If you want my ministry, my anointing, my money, I sacrifice it. My bank account, my anointing, take it over.
I surrender all.
Sing it from your heart. Take it, ba 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 ba.
Everything I give to you, withholding nothing,
holding nothing,
withholding nothing,
holding nothing,
withholding nothing,
holding nothing. Now the Lord said unto Abraham, Abraham, take thy son, thy only son whom thou lovest, and offer him upon a mount that I will show you. You are going to pray. Prayer point number one. Lord, where is that Isaac in my life? That thing I cannot release and let go. Who is that Isaac? Where is that Isaac? What is that thing I cannot give you? Lift your voice and pray. And say, Lord, it belongs to you. It belongs to you. Some of you may cry as you are laying it down, but let it go tonight. Let the intellect go tonight. Surrender it to him. Shake it, ba 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 ba. I declare that you are above that job. You are above that job. You are above that challenge. There is nothing my God cannot give you. Give him your heart tonight. Give him your heart tonight. Some of you need to rededicate your lives afresh. Outside. All the overflows. Some of us need to rededicate our lives and say, Lord, I'm coming back home tonight. I've strayed from you, but I'm coming back home tonight. Holding nothing. Hallelujah. There are some of us, it's business that took the place of God in our lives. You want to make money. Anyhow, you must make money. Others is ministry. You are now too busy for God. Too busy for the things of God. He's no longer a priority. Others academics. Others job. Before you got the job, before you got the admission, God was a priority. Right now we are so busy for him. For others, before you got married, when you were praying and fasting and dropping offerings everywhere, now the husband has come, now the wife has come. For many of us, it's your health. When you were trusting God, dying of HIV, dying of cancer, dying of a terminal disease, you sought God. But now that it has gone, there's no time for him again.
Withholding nothing. Holding nothing.
Hallelujah. Still praying. Prayer point number one. You're going to pray. You're going to say, Lord, even if you never bless me again in this life, you already have my heart. The issue of backsliding or complaining will never occur in my life again. Even if the breakthrough does not come. Come on, lift your voice. That was the secret of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They said, oh King, we know that our God will deliver us. But even if he does not deliver us, we will not bow. Lift your voice and pray. Lord, I know you will bless me, but I love you more than the blessing. I love you more than my bank account. I love you more than my desire to be famous. Pray.
Everything I give to you, withholding nothing, withholding nothing, withholding nothing.
Hallelujah. Look at me. Job was at a point in his life where he was such a wealthy and a blessed man. The Bible says, Job testifying about himself, he said, in the days of my youth, when the secrets of the Lord was upon my tabernacle, he said, I walked upon butter and I sucked honey out of the rock. He said, the young men saw me and they bowed their faces. The old men saw me and they stood up. That was the position of Job. And one day, the devil went to the Lord and said, is it for nothing that this man serves you? In other words, his heart is not with you. And God said, you can touch everything. Don't touch his life. Let me watch. And in one day, his children went. His cattle went. Everything went. And Job, sores came out of him. Dogs will come and lick his sores. And his wife, the first lady of the community, became an object of embarrassment. All the friends left him. And the wife told Job, he said, do you still hold your integrity? Do you still hold your love? Do you love God that much to be a fool? You have become a talk of the town. People have mocked you. Job, you were a great man. Do you not remember when you dined with kings? And Job looked at her and said, why do you speak like one of these stupid women? He said, though he slay me, yet will I praise him. The Bible says, in all of this, Job sinned not. It was not out of his mouth that he uttered anything bad. He said, I know my Redeemer liveth. And the Bible says Job was in a predicament, but he stopped focusing on himself and he was praying for his friends. When Job prayed for his friends, the only other person that did that was Jesus and Stephen. On the cross, he prayed for the people. Stephen. And the Bible says, God turned the captivity of Job, and he had double of everything, children, cattle. What are you going through that is challenging your Christian integrity? Let me preach to somebody for 2 minutes. What are you going through? Financial challenge, your academics. You may be on probation right now. You may even be withdrawn. Let me tell you, all hope is not lost. The Bible says, though weeping endures for the night. You wrote charms 7 times and it looks like nothing is coming. Some of you are due for graduation, but you've been kept again and again. Can I tell you something like Job? I want you to speak tonight that though he slay me, yet will I praise him. All your colleagues have gotten married and you are the only one who is not married. All other people have gone ahead of you. They are even laughing. They said they sinned and they are still blessed. But you who has been righteous for years, don't compromise. Your deliverer is coming. I assure you, God will ride upon the horse and come speedily to deliver you.
Withholding nothing.
You may be married and it looks like your marriage is not working. You're just smiling around, but things are not working. Let me tell you, your deliverer is coming. Some of you, your homes is a place of living hell. All kinds of war happened there. Father, mother, everybody. Some of you, you are the only ones who are saved in your family, and it's bringing a lot of challenge. Let me prophesy to you that if your heart is connected to God, there is nothing my God will not give you. The Lord told me something years ago. He said, son, if you will let men see me, there is nothing I will not give you. There is nothing I will not give you. I have received things from God I cannot remember when I prayed for. Hallelujah. The last prayer point, and we'll round up tonight. Listen, you're going to pray. Hallelujah. And you're going to say, Lord, give me an encounter that is bigger than the challenge I'm going through right now. Give me an encounter that is bigger than the success I've experienced, so that whether my challenges or my successes, they will not stand your place. Lift your voice and pray. Give me an encounter. Give me an encounter, oh God. Lift your voice and pray. Give me an encounter. Open my eyes to see Jesus. Open my eyes to see something bigger than my challenges. Open my eyes to see something bigger than ministry, something bigger than titles. Give me an encounter that will create the impetus for my spiritual life. No backsliding, no going back. Pray. I cry for an encounter. Open my eyes, oh God. Give me the vision of the night. Let me see Jesus seated on the throne. Let me hear his voice. Let me feel his embrace. Yeah, you have my everything. You have my everything. You have my everything. Hey, you have my everything. Take all of me, Lord. You have my everything. Take all of me, Lord.
You have my everything.
You have my everything.
You have my everything.
Whoa. find me when you seek me with all your heart. When you seek me with all your heart. Listen. Hallelujah. Listen. We are still in a prayer mode. The altar call tonight is very special. We are still going to pray. Don't stop praying. If you've never given your heart to the Lord, listen. Or you know that you've backslidden. As we pray, I want you to run from wherever you are, inside or outside. Just come and be on your knees and be praying. There are people God is calling back. You know where you used to be. Don't be ashamed. You've never given your heart to the Lord, inside or outside. As we pray right now, please leave your seat. Come out here quickly. Come out here quickly. Lift your voice and let's pray. Quickly, quickly. Don't wait for anybody to call you. Come by yourself. Come and cry before your maker. Cry before your maker. Cry before your maker. Say, Lord, I'm returning home tonight. Cry before your maker. To the Lord, give your life to Jesus by yourself. Don't pretend it. You are not reciting any poem this night. Cry out to God from the depths of your heart and say, Lord, I'm sorry. I return home tonight. Let me tell you, your friends can let you down, your association can let you down. Why don't you give your heart to the one who will never let you down? Don't be ashamed of your tears. Don't be ashamed of your tears. Some of us did not even realize when we left God. You didn't even realize when you stopped pursuing Him. It's not like you were backsliding. You didn't realize when success started taking God out of your life, when failure started taking God out of your life. Those of you in front, cry. I know there are some of you inside and outside that should be here. Whether you are here or not, cry to God where you are and say, Lord, I mean business with you. I mean business with you. I mean business with you. Beyond ministry, I mean business with you. I mean business with you. I mean business with you. I mean business. He is supposed to come out, and he did not come out. He is supposed to come out. I mean business with you. Lord, we love you. Lord, we love you. We love you. We love you. We love you. From the depths of my heart, let everything else go. I don't care what it is. Let everything else go for the excellency of you. I won't trade you for silver or gold. Not for fame, not for anything. Those of you in front, keep talking to your maker. He's listening to you. Your encounter tonight will be genuine. You will know you found God. You will never forget this day for the rest of your life. Hallelujah. Our time is fast spent, but we are going to pray one prayer that the Lord is putting in my heart. Listen. Listen. The Bible says, love not the world, nor the things that are in the world. It said, for he that loves... Let's look at that scripture. Can we look at it, please? We have to look at it. 1 John 2, verse 14 to 17. 1 John 2. Love not the world. The word love there is the word eros, lust, a craving. This is what God is going to cut out of some of us. There are some of us that love God, but we love money. You can kill because of it. There are some of us, you love men. Ladies, you love men more than your life. You can go with any man. You love God, but let a man just come into your life. There are some of us women. You love women. You can do anything for women. And a lot of pastors have said it doesn't matter. Let me tell you, if you want the glory, it matters. I have written to you fathers, because ye have known him that is from the beginning. I have written to you young men, because ye are strong, and the word of God abideth in you, and ye have overcome the wicked one. 15. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him and he in God. 16. John, 1 John 2, not 4. 2, sorry. I was wondering. 1 John 2, not 1 John 4. It said for all... Okay, let's go back to verse 14. 1 John 2, verse 14. I have written to you fathers because you have known him that is from the beginning. I have written to you young men because ye are strong and the word of God abideth in you. And you have overcome the wicked one. 15. Love not the world. This is the John admonishing us. Love not the world. He's not saying you should not be rich. We just finished a series on financial dominion. He's not saying you should not get married. But don't be attached. That eros, that craving, that attachment. No. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. That means there are things that are in this world. But he said, neither the things that are in the world. Hear me. He says, if any man has this attachment and this craving for the world, the love of the Father is not in him. As simple as that. Next verse. For all that is in the world, what are the things in the world? He categorizes them into three. Number one is the lust of the flesh. Is this amplified? Please give me amplified. Same 16, amplified. For all that is in the world, listen, the lust of the flesh, craving for sensual gratification. That is the Isaac that some of us need to drop tonight. The lust of the flesh. Number two, the lust of the eyes. Greedy longings of the mind. You want the best car in the world. You want everything. Anything your eyes sees, you want. Human or material. You will never contact the power of God that way. Number three, and the pride of life. This is the realm that some of us are sitting in. Assurance in one's own resources or in the stability of earthly things. Degrees, houses, qualifications. The Bible says, these do not come from the Father. Not the materials now. But that desire does not proceed from the Father, but are from the world itself. We are going to pray. You know which of these three categories belongs to you. Every one of us in this place has a prayer point for at least one of them. Every one of us. Everyone. And you are going to pray and say, Lord, tonight I'm not ashamed. You know the encumbrances that stop the richness of your spiritual experience. Your area of vulnerability. Lift your voice right now and pray. Pray from the depths of your heart. For some of you, it's the loss of the eyes. Don't say it does not matter. Brother, it's time for you to take the issue of holiness and purity serious. You can't be sleeping around and say it does not matter. Don't tell me it does not matter. Who shall ascend to the hill of the Lord? Who shall stand in his holy place? There are some of us who are hustlers. You want to make it by all means. You want to make ends meet. It doesn't work like that. Pray from the depths of your heart. It's between you and your God tonight. Outside, inside. Take it seriously. Say, Lord, I repent tonight. Take over. This lust for money is killing me. Take over. This lust for women is killing me. Take over. This lust for wealth, this lust for popularity and recognition is killing me. This love for ministry and title and accolades is killing me. Take it away. Let there be a circumcision, a cutting away. Hallelujah. Early will I seek thee. My soul longs for you to see your power and your glory. Listen to me. We are rounding up. Let him that sins sin no more. I'm seriously, God is speaking to people in this place. Those of you who drink, an end has come. I'm not just speaking. There is power to break that chain. It's time for you to take God seriously. If any guy is coming to your house and doing every kind of nonsense, after this meeting, send him a text. Say, my brother, I love you, but I'm ready to move forward. I've had a message this night and I'm serious about my destiny. Some of you, after this meeting, some people need text messages from you. Are you hearing me? After this message, some people need your text message this night. These are the destiny killers that are eating our lives. When you want to pursue God, they just show up. Some of us, you need to minimize movies. The movie industry is that devil that is stopping you from stepping into the things of God. The movie industry is not wrong, except where it stands in the way of your intimacy with God. You must minimize it. For there is no man that warreth who will entangle himself with civilian affairs. There is a price in this journey, but there is the beauty and excellency. These are the things that when you do, no demon manufactured in hell can stand near your life. I cast out devils and I sleep like a baby. I'm not just sleeping on my bed. There is an atmosphere. It takes a long protocol to reach me. A long protocol in the spirit. Hallelujah. Those of you in front, I'm going to lead you to pray. Don't be ashamed. This is Koinonia. There are some of you who are really crying. This is the presence of God. Don't be ashamed. I'm going to lead you. That you are not here does not mean you cannot join them. If the prayer is necessary, forget about who came with you. No, this is between you and God. This is a destiny encounter. Those of you in front, I see sincerity from your heart. And I want to lead you. Please don't be emotional about this. I want this to be a genuine encounter. There is no habit in your life the power of God cannot break. Are you willing to cooperate with God? There is nothing that cannot, no amount of demon possession or manipulation or whatever it is that can stand your life when you sincerely are ready to move. Therefore, pray after me and say it from the depths of your heart. Whisper it. Many of you, as you pray, you will be surprised what will happen to you. Thank you, Jesus. Say after me, Lord Jesus, I surrender. I truly surrender. Tonight, I repent. Forgive me my sins. I love you with all my heart. Take away all the things that have taken your place in my life. This night, I am willing to start with you afresh. Take me, use me, anoint me, empower me, and make me an ambassador. In the name of Jesus. Satan, stay far from my life. From today, I receive grace to say no to every appearance of evil. I am free. I am delivered in the name of Jesus Christ. Now look at me. You have made the greatest decision in your life. And I want you, tomorrow we are going to meet with you by 5 exactly at the chapel. The chapel just by the Sunday school bookstore. Please endeavor to come. We are going to meet with you and we'll talk with you. By 4 on the dot. For now, I just want you to follow the ushers and they will have your details. We are going to follow you up and I promise you we are going to pray for you. If you are still under the anointing and you just want to lie there, no problem. But make sure eventually you meet with them. Please celebrate them.
We believe you have been blessed by this message. For additional information, you can visit us on Facebook on www.facebook.com/KoinoniaParenting Network International. Or follow us on Twitter, www.twitter.com/Koinonia_KNI. You can also download our messages on www.foreshared.com. Parenting Network International, duplicating the fullness of God's life on earth.